Hallelujah. Are you ready tonight? Are you sure? Talk to somebody and ask the person if he's hungry. You know, in the natural, hunger is a sign that you are dying. But in the spirit, hunger is a sign that you are alive. So ask somebody, are you hungry? Because tonight God is here to feed hungry hearts. We will share for like 1 hour, then we'll trust God to break upon us. Try to manage my voice as well. So lift your hands to all of them and talk to the Lord. This is the time where you forget everybody, including the man ministry, and focus on the Lord. This is the time where your heart opens up and you allow the rains of the Spirit to come upon you. This is the time. These are times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Father. Go ahead and talk to the Lord now. If you are not desperate now, it may be late. When you try to join the train, it will have moved. You must join the train before it takes off. Bara has a sofa Tyler. Say the cabo, babo, babo. Rabrando Savrakila para de do. Sele de do, sele de do. Dalele Casoso Vradagava. I know you have listened to a lot of messages, but we didn't come to preach another message. Our hope tonight is that we may look upon him as he is. Because every time he appears, he's new. The 20 and 4 elders, they see him every moment. But the moment they see him, they bow. Holy, holy, holy. It's him we came to see. Not another good message. Cause an overflow. Thank you, Father. Bring the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Come on, come on. Bring the Holy Ghost. 1 minute, 1 minute. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Be sensitive for a second. Just stay calm and let it rest on you quietly. If I give a command, we'll become rowdy. So just stay calm. Light diffuse into you. I want to share. So I would have told you now, some of you, that something is resting on you already. You find yourself, it's heavy. It looks as if you are in between being drunk and sleepy. You don't know whether you are feeling sleepy. You don't know whether you are drunk. You are downloading at a high voltage. That's what's happening. Calmly, calmly, calmly. So we don't distort. Come. You are many. You are many. You are many. I'm telling you. This is how we take over. Just hold it. Hold it like that. Hold it so that you can gather yourself quietly and see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We are persuaded you will do great and mighty things tonight. Lord, we are yielded. We are yielded. Take all the glory in Jesus' name. Sister, the goal is not to scatter the auditorium. The goal is to prepare. To receive this thing is not what happens in the building, it's what happens in the territory. And most of you will go back to the territories and will be condemned to darkness. I want to share briefly, and then we will allow God to do great and mighty things in our midst. You know, the subject we are considering is very heavy. When God chooses a people, it's a scary thing. When His Spirit looks upon you and says He wants you, it's a very scary thing. Because you can't serve a spirit until you are colonized. So when the Spirit indicates interest in your life, it means your life is gone. When you gave your heart to Christ, you actually didn't give Him your life. You received His life. But when God says He wants to use you, that time He came to take your life. So at new birth, we receive the life of God. But in service, God receives our life. So when God says He wants to use a people, it's a scary thing. Because one, you lose your life. And number two, that you lose your life does not mean you'll be approved of that spirit. Because you may give up your life, and while you're on the way, other things will come in. And then the life you lost will count for nothing. Because after you have journeyed for many years, you will now decide to take another route. You won't journey to the end. That one now you'll be lost. So when God comes for a people, it calls for sober reflection. And this evening, I want to show us four organic things that we must sustain consciously and keep as we walk with God to the end of our journey. You see, when you walk with a spirit, the norms are not the factors to consider. It is the organic things that happen within you and between you and the spirit that counts. God can be using a man mightily, and then you look around that man and see the things the man is doing, and then you photocopy it. It's good at the periphery. But when you journey with that spirit for a while, organic realities will be born in your spirit. Those things are your strongholds. The externalities are not too important. You may lose the organic realities and still be doing all kinds of activities. The spirit doesn't know you anymore. Because what binds you and that spirit is the organic cord, the lively cords between you and the spirit. Because that's where you find your peculiarity. And that's where you find your place in the operations of that spirit. The physical things are generic. But when you want to do kingdom business, There must be something that ties you with the spirit you are working with. That thing is what gives you a place. When you lose it, the essence of what you are doing is already gone. And you may do the activities until you leave this world. But you will discover you didn't work with that spirit because it won't know you. And I will pick four of them this evening just to help us to understand better. You know, sometimes as a traveling minister, I move around for a long time and then I stop sensing God. I still come for the meeting. I know what to do to jack the atmosphere. People are falling. The power of God is moving. People are healed. And then I come back and tell them, I didn't ascend. And then the people, with all these things that happened, we didn't ascend. The ascension is not about what happened. It's about the romance that goes on between you and the Holy Ghost. You will not sense it, but so much will be happening. And then people will be, hey, a great man of God. If you look at what is happening, you are gone. Because over time, when you start looking for that spirit, you can't find him anymore. Because the men that walk with God, they search for God in the spirit. You know, the Bible said in Exodus 20:21, it said Moses stepped into the deep darkness where God was. He looked for him. He could pick the movement of God any day, anytime. Israel were carried away by the power. So you came for a meeting. There was power, but you couldn't trace God. God hid himself because what God is looking for is intimacy. You are looking for manifestation. A demon can give manifestation, but the man that can find God, you look for him until you found where he was and you pitch your tent there. And sometimes you forget the meeting. That's the life of Jesus. Sometimes Jesus comes for a crusade. The people gather and then he sneaks out through the back door. And you hear that Jesus entered into the mountain. They don't enter mountains, they climb mountains. But what he's telling you, he's not ascending a physical mountain. He's entering into the belly of God to find the intimacy that he had with him before the foundation of the world. Because his activity on earth will count for nothing until he holds that intimacy. That was his watchword while he walked there. Even when he was on the cross, the Bible never recorded that he cried when they nailed him. When the nails pierced him, he never cried. The Bible didn't record. When they plunged him, they didn't record. But the moment sin came upon him and got torn, he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, for the first time, he couldn't find the Father. Why the nails were going on, it wasn't a problem. Why they were beating him, it wasn't a problem, because he was with the Father. But the moment the Father turned, Eloi, Eloi, I can't find the Father. For the first time, Jesus was searching in the spirit and he couldn't see the Father. Where are thou? You know, men don't know the value of intimacy. Meanwhile, God stepped into the garden. Adam was still functioning as a God. He ruled over the garden. And when God showed up, he said, Adam, Adam, where are thou? You are still naming animals. Meanwhile, you are falling from your throne. I can't see you in my radar. You are lost from my radar, but you are doing activity in the garden. Where are thou? The organic, organic reality. And you are not numbered until you carry those things. Because when God numbers men, it is your connection with God that is your number. It's not the number of people in the auditorium. It's not moved by those who gather. Is moved by those who are connected vitally to him. So sometimes when prayer is going on, that's when some people find their God and then they follow it until they touch God. They have had their own service. Their service has finished. They have touched God. The other worship, we thank God, we are worship, but we have touched God. They have appeared in Zion. Meanwhile, the other is when worship is going on. That's where they find their God. And they journey into Zion and they touch him. Let me not preach from body. Let's read the Bible, a book. Ha! If you know the number of people that don't know when last they touch God, you cry. Meanwhile, we gather in thousands. We are saying, revival, revival. We are the one God is using. Who? sorry. Let me read the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. You know, God is dealing with a lot of generations at the same time. There are many ages in God. The age of man is one of the many ages. As we are talking now, there is the age of the angels. And the angels are of different class. It's not every spirit in heaven that is an angel. But I don't have time to show you. I don't have time to show you the spirits that existed with God many years before even the angels were created. If you journey the rankings of the spirit, you will discover there are many spirits in heaven. Many spirits. Some of them just sit with God. They just stay with God. That's all they do. There are other spirits that God has allocated dimensions to them. So if you enter heaven, you will find certain spirits. They will tell you, this is the spirit of wisdom. Is a custodian of the wisdom of God. There are many ages before God created the age of man. And every age in heaven has a law of the spirit that governs it. In the angelic age, the law, the code of the angelic age is service. So you can't be an angel until you have a place of service. And that's why the name angel is the seal of their age. That means they are high commissioners. They are messengers of God. So you are not an angel until you are in service. Because what defines that age is service. When an angel is removed from service, it ceases from being an angel. That was what happened to Lucifer. When Lucifer was removed from service, he was no longer an angel. Because the age of the angelic is governed by their service to God. And the way angels serve God, they serve the Lord by revealing his dimensions. That's why their realm is full of external glory. So you see an angel of light, when he appears, he can dwarf the sun. You see an angel of fire, when he appears, everything begins to burn. So in their service, as they serve God, their glory increases. Their glory is increasing to the degree of their service. So that age is called the angelic age, because the angels are servants of God. But when God created the age of man, there was a different code that governed the age of man. Because the wisdom that created the angelic age is different from the wisdom that created the age of man. The angelic age was created by a wisdom that predominantly anchors on service. But when God wanted to create man, he entered himself again. And he said, let us make man. You see, this angelic age, they have disappointed us. Because one of the governors that was the ruler of the earth have decided to become like us. He has violated the order of Zion. What we gave him is no longer enough, because in service, his glory intensifies. So he has miscalculated the manifestations that he carried to make him one of us. And he now said in Ezekiel 28 verse 18, he said, because of the multitude of thy iniquity, you have corrupted thy sanctuary. So your glory now is for nothing. You can't serve anymore. Your beauty is not in the illumination. Your beauty is in the fact that you are in active service. Because what rules your age is service. The moment you are withdrawn from service, your beauty counts for nothing. You have become a man of iniquity. And he was cast as profane from the mountains of God. And when service became compromised in Zion, God decided to craft another intelligence. And so he activated the age of man. You know, God God is the God of ages past. There have been many projects of God. There have been many civilizations of God. But after the angelic civilization failed, God decided to start another age. That was when he came to the creation of man. And when God created man, the mystery that governed our age was different from the mystery of the angelic age. So the mystery of the human age is God hid in dust. So when God wanted to create our age, the mystery of our age is that God hides in man. So when he wanted to create Adam, what God did was that God divided himself for the first time. The Trinity splitted and he took God. And when he carried God, he fetched dust and he hid God in dust. So the age of man is a mystery that God is hiding in the dust. So the goal of man is not first of all service. The goal of man is his ability to tap into the God that hides on his inside. That's why the mystery of our age is koinonia, is fellowship. Because if you have not found the God that is on your inside, you are not alive. Just the way if an angel is not in service, he ceases to be an angel. If you don't find the God on your inside, you are not a man. That was why Paul said in Colossians 1:26, he said, "This is the mystery of the age of man, Christ in you, the hope of glory." Because if you don't have God on your inside, if you don't know that God on your inside, you are not a man. You may be an amoeba. And when Jesus showed up, he said, "This is life eternal, not breath." He said that you may know him. That one that is hidden on your inside, your ability to know him, that is life. So a man can journey through time and never trap God. A man can journey through time and never know God. And he will walk and say, "I'm the governor of Texas." When they check the radar of Zion, you are not yet a man. You become a man the day God tabernacles your inside. And you begin to live the day you touch that God. Do you see why koinonia is important? We may gather in church, few of us will be numbered in Zion. My voice, this voice, it will crack. This voice, it must crack. Jesus, he knows. Because life was his ability to stay connected. If God is grieved, he knows. If God rejoices, he knows. Because you don't live in this world by men directing you. You live in this world by receiving your navigation from the one inside. So it is him that will tell you, "Rise up. Get thee down to Joppa." That's where you live from. The one that hides here is the one that... That's why I say it's not given to man that walketh to order his step. In matters of ordination, creativity is not a factor. Because the one that sits here will be the one to tell you, "Leave Nigeria and go to Brazil." Meanwhile, somebody else will look at you and say, "Oh boy, this Brazil, they walk. Meanwhile, I won't go Brazil." Meanwhile, the one inside tell him, "Go to Congo." So he will leave Brazil and go to Congo. If you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. And the reason is because he has not touched the one that sits inside. You know, when we are talking revival, everybody is hearing. God is releasing a mantle. Yes, God. These things are not, they are not sweet, but I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. They are not sweet. See, I would have gone to India 2 years ago on scholarship and I would have been saying, but India is fine. By now, maybe I would have crystallized an Indian damsel. And then when you check my slate in Zion, India was not written. And then I'll return to Zion as a mighty man. They will check and say, "No, you didn't touch this man. this thing, this being here, you didn't find him. So what were you doing on earth? They will now ask you, where were you? You say, I was on earth now. I was 80 years old. 80 where? So what were you doing? How come you didn't find him? You say, I was busy here and there. As I was busy here and there, so you will lose purpose because you were busy here and there. You didn't know the code that governs his age. Pray that you don't grow old. Find him early. You know, people brag and say they are 50 years old. 50 years. Some people looked at my age. They were quoting some age on the internet. I knelt down and thanked God. Say, thank God I've not reached there. Because if I've reached there now, I would have wasted by now. Thank God I've not reached there. Don't you notice that when a man finds him, his life becomes glorious? You now look at him, you think you love him. Who told you love him? It's what is fetching from his inside you love. Who told you love him? You see, a preacher like some of us, somebody is walking, you say, I love him. Love what? Sometimes you see a preacher, very dark and short, and then you say, hey, Papa, that is not him. That being inside, when he fetched him out, he fleshed him. So it is the God on his inside that you are touching, because he has become a representative of a dimension. So long as he finds that God, even if you take him to a wilderness, it will become a fruitful field, because he has found the code for this age. So when they say Africa is in view, don't be so happy to say because you are in Africa, because even Judas Iscariot was there when Jesus was there. Proximity is not an advantage. Meanwhile, somebody else can be in Brazil and enter the spirit of the age, and he will be white skinned, but he will carry the mantle of Africa. Yes, because he can tap into it by alignment. Because every time God brings a dimension to a people, there's a government that comes with it. Anybody that satisfies the demand of that government becomes part of the people. So Africa is not a geographical location. Africa is the people that will tap into the requirement of the season. Anybody that taps into the requirement of the season, he can be in Canada, he will front the revival. Because it's not about a geographical location. It's a dimension. It's a government. It's a requirement. If you find it and you align, even if your skin is white, in heaven you have become African. Meanwhile, some people will be black-skinned and their village will be in Nigeria, but they will not know about the revival. So it's not about skin color. It's about accessing what is available. I would have shown from scriptures why it is Africa's time, but evangelist has done a thorough exegesis. That's why I want to show us the requirement. Because everything happening is an operational system. It's inside here. So don't be so glad that you are in Nigeria and then assume that those who are not in Nigeria will feel bad. It's a lie. You can be in the United States and you will front this revival. If you know what it takes and you align with it. Because when he say Africa, it wasn't written Africa in heaven. Because it's not God that named it Africa. It's the people that found us that named it Africa. What it was written in heaven is a dispensation. It's a dealing. It's an operation of the spirit. So anybody who finds that dispensation, that dealing, and that operation of the spirit becomes an African. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hi, hi, hi. Yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah.
Fatakia. Zezina Vandekira Barus. Chadiva Kore Nahazia Vazizo Zalavande. Keriando Prasizi Fatagata. Haziano Talishk. Talishko Savate. Deliko Sazila Bandragata. I fear God shouldn't point us, and yet we are not qualified. I fear. What is the first requirement of the people that will power the last wine? Is discernment. Is discernment. I'm telling you the condition for this kind of Africans. Because these Africans are not those born in Benue. I'm telling you what makes these Africans. You will see it. Oh, I'm telling you, you will see it. You will see revival break out in Asia. And you say, ah, I thought they say it's African stone. The Africans are not black skinned. This is the requirement. You know when he said in Romans chapter 9 verse 4, he said, who are the Israelites? He didn't say those who are in the... He said those to whom pertained the covenant, the giving of the law, the glory. He began to outline who Israelites are. So you can be among them, but you'll be a Muslim. So you are not Israelite because you are in that location. You are Israelite because you enter this qualification. To whom pertained the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. These are Israelites. So you can be born by a Jewish man, but you are not God's Israelite. And that is why you and I became part of the covenant. Because the Israelite of God, adoption is part of it. So in Christ we were adopted. So I am as Israelite as a Jewish man. Who are the people? They are men of discernment. They are able to discern the season. And discerning the season is not to know that, hey, revival is coming. You will talk it. I won't say it so there is not somebody here. He said, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm upon his holy mountains. But in 1 Corinthians 4:8, he said, if the trumpet makes an unusual sound, who will prepare for battle? So the men who don't discern the sound, they will think it's business as usual. So for them, they stroll to church. And they hear a good message, receive a prophetic word, they go back home. And then they are waiting for next Sunday. Meanwhile, those who discern the season, there is a burden that the season brings on them. So many people will go to church, God will be picking people. You know, say, ah, I thought this person is Sunday school. How come? It's not about Sunday school. He heard a voice you didn't hear. So you will be a Sunday school teacher for 90 years and thank God for that service. But the wine is not for you. I am telling you because what I'm telling you now, as I begin to advance, most of you will know that you are beginning to hear the alarm. Some of you have heard it 6 months ago. Because when the Holy Ghost came to you and said, begin to pray at night, that's your alarm. But you didn't discern it. You thought it's one of those casual seasons. Some of you, the Holy Ghost came to you and said, every Friday, shut down, pray till Sunday. It has been there for 8 months. And then you say, oh boy, next year we start. Next year, I will start. And then you see a man of God, you gather an envelope, put money inside, you kneel down and clean his shoe. You think you'll be recruited by cleaning shoe. You are a joker. You didn't discern the alarm. You will clean the shoe of 20 men of God and you will go nowhere. And I'm not against honoring men of God. I honor men like madman, like a madman. But I'm talking about a people that God wants to fall upon. They have discerned the season. They know what the rhythms of God is about for the now. So they have refused to be at ease in Zion. The reason you are at ease in Zion is because you didn't hear the alarm. You have not discerned it. You heard a trumpet, but you didn't know what it means. That's why you are able to go and sleep and say, air condition good. Some people will need to sleep on the floor to wake up at night. Because the demands of their alarm is to be awake at night. And they know that if they don't keep awake at night, the day God announces his army, they will not be counted. And because they have heard the trumpet, if it means sleeping on ties, they will sleep on ties. Because they are fighting to be numbered. They are fighting to be a part of the move of God. That's the people God is talking about. They have discernment. He said, the sons of Issachar. They had understanding of the times and the season. But it's not about the understanding. He said they knew what Israel ought to do. A man who discerns doesn't just know. He knows what to do. It is in the knowledge of what to do that he enters what God wants to do. And you will notice that if you have discerned correctly, there are three organic things that will begin to happen to you. That's why I began by telling you this thing is purely organic. It's not about the conferences you attend. I attended many conferences. I was a normal person. Because I didn't know what to do with the sounds I received from the conferences. When you have discerned, you will know what to do. And when you do, there are three things that will happen to you. The first is that you will catch a burden. A burden. The burden you catch is the economy of the spirit you spend from. Your physical strength is not enough to climb Sinai. You will faint. You need a divine ability to climb. So the grace God gives you to ascend the mountain where scepters are given, the name is called a burden. You know, Moses was in Israel, Egypt, 40 years enjoying as a prince. The Bible said when he came of age, a burden fell upon him. And he said, for the first time, Moses, that thought it was a privilege to come to the courts of Pharaoh, they will come with their aprons and turbans. And then they will sit. There was a decorum. All of a sudden, he said, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What do you mean? Why do you detach from pleasure? His burden. The reason a man will wake up at night, he's feeling sleepy, but he's praying. Katikita. Chatidaba. Elolobe. Avoate kadian. Adeketeke. Olele kashidi. Kati. You look at him, say, you won't die. Rest today. He can't rest. There's a burden. There's a burden. And Moses stepped out and joined himself with his people. It was not enough. He saw an Egyptian fighting an Israelite. He killed the Egyptian. He buried him. You thought he has done enough. Tomorrow he came again. Because even if you are afraid, the body won't let you rest. Even if you are tired, the body won't let you rest. So if you don't have a body now, it's time to cry. It's time to cry. That's why I told you it's organic. It's not a gathering. Don't be deceived by a gathering. When you step out and you are alone, what do you carry? I'm pregnant with something. That thing powers me. It powers me. The reason you can sit on the Bible and you are ready, you are ready, you are ready. You sleep, you wake up, you are ready. It's not because you want to preach a message. There is a vacuum in your spirit and that body will not stop until it's saturated. And when Pharaoh drove Moses, you thought Moses would come and say, God, I've tried. Now let me live my life. Every day, the guy went out and that body was with him. The body was with him. So the Bible said he came to Horeb, the backside of the mountain, and he saw a bush burning. The instantly he saw, he could identify the supernatural because that body was there. He knew somehow that the God of Israel will visit his people because of that season. Even while he was in the wilderness, he was looking for God. And the moment he saw an element of the supernatural, he saw it and it turned. The body will drive you there. You will not rest. You will keep at it. I'm not talking people gather in prayer meeting and somebody has a good exhortation because the exhortation was strong. You prayed and then the next day you came. The mountain. A body. If the body is not there, my brother, even if the evangelist remove his suit and put on your head, don't be so happy. I have received so many like that. Organic. Don't be quick to be self-deceived. God is speaking to everybody, but God knows the ones he's talking to. Have you discerned the season? If you have,
it will affect your life, because you will be impregnated with a burden. That burden is your greatest asset in this season. Many people are walking without burden. When they go home, they say, "Oh boy, no issue. I thank God for today's service." They carry the Bible. In 3 months, he's still reading one chapter. When he wants to read the Bible, he lies down on the bed. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And the earth was... After 40 minutes, without form, man, darkness was there. And then when they come for meeting, they say, "Revival." He said, "We are the one." Hey. Your angels will look at you and say, "Oh boy." You know, Apostle was asking, he said, "Do you know what it takes to dethrone the prince in a village? You think it's casual? You come and speak good English. Go to a club around your house and speak that English you speak on the altar and see if they will hear you. That's when you will know what you need is deeper than English language. There must be, a body must take you somewhere where you touch something that is of heaven. And if you have not reached there, the body cannot be aborted. You will travel with it until it takes you to Horeb, the mountain of God. When you get there, it's your encounter with the supernatural that alights the body. These are the Africans he's talking about. They have discerned the season. They have discerned the season. And when you find that thing, you'll be shocked. That's where all of a sudden you will discover God is not working with titles. Somebody is a prophet, but suddenly revival break out. Is the boy that is holding camera that God fall upon. You're now wondering, what is happening? That was the one that attended to burden. That's the one that attended to burden. When revival come, you see strange things. You see somebody who is in a coal mine. You think he's a miner. Every day he comes there, he's weeping under a body. And so when the outpouring begins, it rains on him first. And he carries the rain to the city. You know, an orator can trigger an awakening. Because you talk well. You can talk. People say, "Kai, God wants to do something." But the outpouring is not the operation of an orator. It takes a man who has dealt with burden and he has entered heaven. That's the man that can bring the rain. I'm preaching to you now. There are some of you here that have more burden than me. When the revival starts, God will not be biased. You will be ahead of me. Even though you were the one hearing me preach. That's how it works. So if I want to be relevant, I will keep the pregnancy that the Holy Ghost gave me. I will keep it. I will watch it. I will monitor it. When Samson's mother became pregnant, there were many things she stopped eating. Because that body will regulate your life. There are many places you can't go anymore. Some of you, in the evening, is when you normally love to sit down to talk and gist. But you see, when this body come, most times that evening is when the body requires ventilation. So you will have to quit a lot of things. It means you are preparing for the revival. Something is already on you. You don't need a prophet to tell you. The burden is a sign that you are part of those God is working with. Meanwhile, there are many people that receive burden. After 1 week, they have bought it. See, some of the things we are doing now, some of us should have been doing it like 10 years ago. But I didn't know the intelligence of burdens. I will go for a meeting. I will catch a burden. When I come home, they will now tell me, "Have you watched Kylex? Why?" I will now say, "Okay, let me watch one season." And then we'll sit down and watch for 2 weeks. And when we finish, you want to go. You now hear somebody say, "Alexander Mahon." The way they will even pronounce it, "Mahon." You now come, "Who is that?" You now sit down. And you watch 24 for 1 month. And then when you want to finish, you know, "Who is Mahon?" Schofield. And then you are aborting burdens. And then a season passes. An
another season passes. Meanwhile, you are teaching Bible, you are preaching Bible as an apostle. You can't touch the powers of the ages to come. Because you didn't climb. You stopped at the feet of the mountain. That's why you are moved by emotion. You say today God is close. Tomorrow, no. The guy who is on the mountain, he controls the weather. Ghost God we use are not in Africa. They are pregnant with bodies. The second thing that discernment will do to you is that it will give you a hunger for the presence. Because the only way you can be accurate is when only God becomes your goal. Revival comes with a lot of things. You can be carried away by power. You can be carried away by money. You can be carried away by many things. But you will discover for the first time a new dimension of intimacy will be created. That sometimes you'll be walking on the street and you will miss God. You are not praying about anything. You will just miss God. You will miss the presence of God. You are walking on the street. You just want to go home. You are with people. You are having very legitimate conversation. But while you are yet in that meeting, you start sensing a pull to the presence. I miss God. And then you want to go talk to the Lord. You want to go to God's presence. Sometimes you come, you don't even have anything to say. You just sit there, you start crying. God is drawing you to Himself. I am the reviver. I am the one. You know, you can't bring government to a territory until organic things begin to happen to you. The Bible said, as the deer panted after the water brooks. You know, a deer becomes strong when his horns are groomed. And it is the pantings of the deer, those vibrations, those are the things that provoke the growth of the horn. So a deer can sense water 200 miles away. And then you see a deer restless. What is happening? He's looking for water. The reason is because the horn must grow. It's when the horn grows that it can bring government. Kiss me with the kisses of thy mouth. He say, for thy, oh my God. You can't teach God. Because if people don't know what you are saying, they'll be wondering, what is he saying? I wish you understand. The people who understand it, they know, because as you are talking, they are remembering when the Holy Ghost was seducing them. So they will leave your preaching and they will go back to the experience of intimacy that they had with the Holy Ghost. They know when the Holy Ghost was seducing them, when he was drawing them, when he was pulling them. They go back to that mountain and they activate that encounter afresh. Say, thy love is better than wine. Thy love is better than wine. When we are still conscious of a lot of things, the presence of God has not appeared. When he appears, people will advise you to be careful, because they would think you want to self-destruct. Go and read the stories of revival. Find out the men God uses. Some of them are lost in God's presence for many days. Many, many, many days. Something beyond explanation was going on their inside. When they see you, they can't tell you, because it's not cognitive. Meanwhile, you can be seated on the minister's seat, but you have nobody. You have no hunger for the presence. And then you say you want to captain the revival. You are joking. That's why I advise myself, when God is talking, sometimes I go back home quietly and I tell God, you know, I don't have hunger for your presence again. You know, when they were talking, I wasn't moved. There are times when they say some things, I know I'm supposed to cry, but I didn't feel like crying. And I'll come to God and say, I was supposed to cry. But you see, I've become hardened. Why didn't I cry? Why did he not touch me? Why was I not moved? It means the presence has become far. It has become far. But when you begin to talk mysteries, people are like, oh boy, because they are receiving new message to go and preach. It's not preachers God is looking for, it's witnesses. And the only thing that qualifies you to be a witness is that which we have heard and seen, declare unto you. Declare we unto you. Have you discerned the season? Or is he evangelist? Is he Kechukwu's ideology? Hope you know up till now, some people are wondering. Now, wow, this thing are true? Okay. Okay, they are trying to understand it. Okay, what are you? Okay. Okay, so God wants to use Africans. Okay. Discernment is key. It's key. It's key. The Bible said in Genesis 18 verse 1 that Abraham sat in front of his tent. The word sit is the word meditation. That's what it means. Sitting posture in the spirit is the posture of meditation. Abraham was contemplating God. And even when God showed up and the Bible said three men, Abraham knew they were not men. He knew this was God. He could see beyond the covering because he has been in the presence. So he knows the things that come from the presence. He has been there. That's where he lives. But it takes him what? Sitting there to discern it. Don't be moved. Most of the things that move us are a distraction already. Very big distraction. What is the burden you carry? Some people have a burden to see souls coming to the kingdom. Some people have burdens for Asia. Some people have burdens for Canada. You don't have any burden. And then you don't have a hunger for the presence. Burden is the weight of your assignment. Hunger is a pull to the presence. If these two are lacking now, it means you have not discerned the season. We are not just saying, God will fling us into the field. No. Our burden have told us what we do. So there are many people that know their own is to bring souls to the kingdom in millions. That's the only thing they see. Preach heaven to earth. That's all they see. That's their burden. Those were the stories we heard of men like John Knox. Give me Scotland or I die. So every night he's praying. He wants to beg Scotland. That's a burden. So God won't just come and litter people everywhere. No. There are some people that will be miracle workers. So their burden is hatred against the devil. His molestation of humankind. They can't see it. When they see people dying of sickness, they are restless. So when the revival begins, that's their horn. So that burden is teaching them how to wield that sword. So when the revival begins and you see people working miracles, it didn't just fall on them as if God scattered it. No. The burden you trap becomes the horn that you will manifest. There are those that they feel bad against the deteriorated leadership of nations. So their burden is to see governance restored. And when revival begins, you will see kings sit under them and they will teach them how to rule their nations. And then you say, ah, how come? You will think it's by beautiful message. No. It is their burdens that enthrone them. So if you don't have a burden now, there's a problem. It means you have not found your place in the army. Because your burden is what will allocate you in your rank. The first is discernment. Pray to God. Tell him to give you a body. So we don't gather ourselves over the weekend and psych ourselves. If you leave this conference without a body, you didn't attend. I'm telling you, you didn't attend. Do you see why this thing cannot be hypocrisy or pretense? It can't. It's not possible. That you are around does not mean you'll be part of it. Forget it. You can't act it. You can't. It's organic. It's purely organic. And that's why when God begins to move, many people go into oblivion. It's purely organic. You can't act it. It's either you are numbered or you are not. And the signs are there. You can't be strolling without a burden and expect God carry you and say, go to Canada, go to Brazil, go to Congo, go to Malaysia. To do what? He said, my little children, of whom I travel in prayer. I travel. There was a body. That was why he was betting people, betting churches. It wasn't skill oriented. It was body oriented. Sometimes because we are young, we want to be seen in certain meetings. We want to be seen around certain ministers. Let me assure you, even if you are living with Apostle Arume Osai, it's not a guarantee that God will use you. You have not caught anybody. You will be shocked that the guy who strolled in and spoke to him one day, you will hear the story next time that he's taking eternity somewhere. Meanwhile, you will live with him every day. You wake up, how far? It will shake you. And then you are joking. Those days, I love snapping with apostles. And then I will keep them. I will chronicle them. I discovered that had no advantage. But if I catch the burden that he carries, whether he likes it or not, I will be part of what he's doing. Because the burden will give me a place. You see some people, they stand with the biggest of men. That you are living in the house of David Ogbeni does not mean you have his body. It's the body that will define you. It's the body that will give you a place. It's the body that will become your scepter of authority. Can I tell you something? Even if they carry the mantle of Catherine Kuman and give you, if you don't have a body, it will become a weight. That was why David could not use the mantle of Saul. He didn't have Saul's body. The body you carry is an enough mantle for you. And everywhere you go, the vibration of that body can dethrone princes. Because when you roar, the weight of what you carry in the spirit will shake the territory. That's why the voice and the weight of our messages are not the same. We can preach the same message. The weight will be different. Because we talk from burdens. Burdens. People are looking for messages and reshuffling. People are not interested in hearing messages. When they hear you, they want to touch the texture of your witness. That's what pierces the heart of man. What is the burden that you carry? Some people think platform is what makes men. You can preach in Shiloh. Nobody will remember you. 50,000 people. They will come for the meeting. They will not remember you came. But if the weight of the body you carry, if they feel it, if it comes upon them, they will leave that meeting. They will be changed. They will be changed. I listened to a man. All of a sudden, everything about me changed. I discovered for 1 month when I'm preaching, I'm acting like him. I said, Lord, what is this? He enveloped me in his body. The guy had so much weight, I was lost in him. That's how you take your word. You carry a body too heavy. So when you come to a place, you throw your weight on people. The guy can come as a governor. When you throw your weight on him, he will not be able to walk to his office. He will sit in his office. He won't know what to do. He will pray. He will start begging God. He will start crying. He will start repenting. He will say, I want to see that prophet again. You will tell him what to do because you threw your weight on him. There's something you carry It's too heavy. It's too heavy. It's too heavy. That's what pushes you. That's what powers you. So when you come somewhere, all you need to do is cry. 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 He said, John was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. There was one thing John did. He only cried. And when John cried, he said, the whole of Jerusalem and Judea, they went to him. He was crying. There was a parting. That parting was what made him leave his father's house. He left. His father was a high priest, but he carried the parting. The father doesn't know it. The father was a high priest. He knew oblations, but he didn't know about it. Because John couldn't stay there, he went to the wilderness and he was incubating. He was incubating. One day, he said, repent! 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 And his word entered Jerusalem. Entered Jerusalem. And they started looking for him. Even the Pharisees came there. And he looked at them. He said, you brood of vipers. He wasn't preaching a sweet message. He only came with potting. A potting. Asosova. Kateka. Setiato. Asusia. Aleleloa. I read the story of the wage revival. The guy comes to church and he just sits down for 2 hours and he's crying. And he's crying. As he's crying, after a while, the whole street is packed. No publicity. But when he cries, he has become like the deer. Yeah, 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 yeah. That vibration dethroned the prince of Holland. He threw him off his throne, and the powers that held men in iniquity broke. And suddenly, men began to look for God. He just sat down. It was a body. You can pray like him, but you don't have his body. It's more important. The Africans that will steward the revival. God is touching anybody, just allow them. They have entered what they are receiving. So please, don't be distracted. The second criteria of the people God will use are separated men. You can't bring revival to a people you are a part of. Before the fire of God came upon them, they separated themselves and they were in the upper room. It is in the place of separation that the fire rests. You know, I told you an orator can trigger an awakening, not the outpouring. It takes more than talk for the outpouring of the Spirit. If you are not separated and you are still part of the civilization, forget it. You know, when you teach certain things, it looks as if you are pessimistic, or it looks as if you are unnecessarily being hard. We trivialize spiritual things. That's why we don't get results. We think we just throw and things happen by coincidence. It's a lie. The pain of separation must be felt. He said in Luke 1:80, John was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. Without separation, there can never be a revival. God said his people will be in captivity for 4 generations. It was 400 years. God couldn't come. Even though he spake, Israel could not have the emancipation until a man separated himself. And it was in his separation that the fire fell. He said, come out
from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. He said, they that bear the vessels of God, they must be clean. Separation is a detachment from the predominant civilization. Because every civilization is a government of a spirit. Every civilization is an expression of a character of a spirit. Every civilization is an effulgence of the nature of a spirit. The world system is the nature of a spirit, is the character of a spirit, is the government of a spirit. You can't possess his nature, function by his character, and walk under his government and expect to be able to upturn that government. You're already a slave of that spirit. It may not even be outright sin. It may be worldliness. As simple as it sounds, it's another spirit. If God will use us, we must separate ourselves. Most times it's the hardest thing to do. We want to be like them. We want to be one of them. And then we think we can change them. It's a joke. Somebody said the church has become more worldly. So if you want to understand what's happening in the world, watch the way they do things in church. There was a point in church when everybody began to dance with their buttocks going up, because that was what was reigning in society. Now if everybody is dancing, it's like this. It means we are looking at the wrong thing. And what you see is what you become. Is a law of the spirit. So the nature of that spirit enters your soul. The reason sometimes you can't pray, even when prayer is what you should do, is because the things you allowed into your spirit, they began to weigh on your soul. So you can't pierce through the dark cloud. So the requirement is separation. The Bible said, no, none dare join themselves with them. There was a distinction. What did he say? Paul said to the barbarian, I became a barbarian. People know a lot of scriptures. So when you are talking, they are countering you from everywhere. And when you are here, you can pick their thoughts. Jesus didn't become a sinner to save sinners. Separation is a functional requirement. You can't be part of them and save them. Everyone that ever saved his world was detached from his world. Because if the world has a hold on your soul will not have the liberty to contend. I love prophecies. I love impartations. But I know how they work. They don't work void of reality. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19, say the standard of the Lord standeth sure. Say therefore the Lord knoweth them that are his. He said, they that name the name of the Lord must depart from iniquity. For in a great house there are many vessels, some unto honor, some unto dishonor. He said, some are made of gold, of silver, of hay, and of wood. He said, if a man purges himself, he said, that man becomes fit, meet, and qualified for the master's use. So when God says he wants to use us, it's also a call for separation. In Exodus 19 verse 10, tell the people to separate themselves, to sanctify themselves, for tomorrow I will visit. God only visits people who are separated.
The outpouring is for the separated. This is why the Holy Ghost will lead many of you to your wilderness. Because you know, separation is hard. You must be compelled. Even Jesus was compelled. He said in Mark 1:12 that the Holy Ghost drove him to the wilderness. Even Jesus was compelled. Separation is not casual. It is God breaking your will. It is in separation that submission is learned. He was driven to the wilderness, and when he returned, he said he returned in the power of the Spirit. If you are not separated, you will come with mental power. And you see, because you know more than your colleague, you will impress them and they will clap for you. But the revival is not among your colleagues. If the revival was for you and your colleagues, it would have been enough. You are going to the hidden. That's why you must stand at peace from the people until something rests on you. Every man God uses, because separation was too integral, even after the outpouring comes, they can't mingle anymore. They have entered another culture. A new civilization has been formed. That's why you see men that make headlines, they are not running everywhere. They have mastered separation that even when what they were looking for came, they couldn't go back anymore. It has become their life. I heard Bishop Oyedepo. He said he was in Otta for 21 years. He doesn't know the road to the market. He didn't attend any birthday. What he carried was too strong. He said he only knew the road to the airport. You don't know why for 30 years this man never missed one Sunday service. They are satisfied where they are. They don't know the world anymore. They've been crucified to the world. And the world has been crucified to them. That's separation. They say they are in the stadium. There's a match. You are there. They say they are watching a Champions League finals. You are there. They say something's happening in the market. You are there. So when the Holy Ghost comes and the angels come, they'll be chasing you around the city. They told them you were in the market. When they read the market, they say, no, you have gone to the club. They come to the club. When they read the... Somebody else through alignment will take your place. Because that time you were running about. Somebody else that was not numbered is saying, Lord, use me. Use me. If they look for you for long, because they can't go back to heaven with it, they will give the man who is available. He says, as the rain falleth down and returneth not, but performeth that for which it is sent, so shall my word be, which is comfort out of my lips. It shall not return to me void. I heard Catherine Kuhlman. She says it was not called. She didn't have any spectacular encounter to call her into office. But a point came, she became desperate. And she said, Lord, if you use nothing, use me. And she wouldn't leave. Hope you read the parable of the unjust judge. Because the woman buffeted her day and night. The judge had no choice. The one I earmarked is not ready, so take. When he dies, we welcome him to heaven. Because precious in the eyes of God is the death of the saint. You can't be everywhere and be used. There's a location. The outpouring always has a location. Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Not tarry for a while. Tarry until you are endued. So the time your expiration for separation comes is the time of your endowment. And you don't live there to come and mingle. You live there to the place of your primary assignment. The problem is not that you go everywhere. The problem is that your soul is noisy. You are scattered. So you are distracted. Everything gets your attention. Apostle said something the other day. I said, I will try it. Say, if he's driving, he only looks straight. And I'll say, me too, if I'm driving, I will look straight. Or driving, when I came to the traffic, I looked like this. I looked like this. And now discover, it's not about, it's the heart. is a posture. Separation is the posture of the heart. A man is gathered unto God. He can be somewhere for 2 weeks. He's not moved. Nothing you do can turn him. He is focused. His sight is single. That's separation. Those are the people God uses. You hear a noise, you have checked. They say this one is happening. No. Some people, even while they are in church, just watch for a while. They can't focus. When you see them like that, most times they are fleshly people. They can be entering the auditorium and be doing like this, like a spiritual man. Don't worry, leave them. When they finish acting, as they sit down, watch them. After a while, they are scattered. And that's why their spirituality is a show. When they are on the altar, they do like this. It's a lie. A spiritual man has gravity. Because separation will give you gravity. You are able to stay. When you can do that, you are ready. I'm telling you. You know, it's easy to scatter the auditorium. Holy Ghost. You say, hey, it's a powerful service. You leave, you are still scattered. And then you'll be shocked. When God begins to ordain men, you now see somebody. You say, where has this person been? He's been separated. He was in the cave. That's why you didn't see him. Because God don't meet people in the market. Scattered. We go from meetings upon meetings, but we are scattered. You know, from the first day we've been having impartation. We can have impartation like that for 8 days, but people still be scattered because they won't take the responsibility of building gravity. Go to your room for 3 days. Off your phone. Tell yourself you will not come out. That's when you know how noisy your soul is. You will carry your phone 10 times in 20 minutes. 10 times. You will look at it like this. You will drop it. You will look at the back and drop it. Somebody will stand up and go to the kitchen. Open the pot. Look at the cover of the pot and drop it. And come outside. He will look at the sun. The sun is bright today. He will now close the window. He's just distracting himself because his soul is noisy. But when you want to be used, you will stay there. You will teach your soul a new kingdom language. You will quieten your soul. That's how you bend your will and bring your will to obey God. There are some people, let's fast. As they start fasting before 12. Before 12, they are all over the place. They can't bring their body. Paul said, I beat my body and I bring it under submission. You beat it. That's what separation teaches you. You build gravity consciously. And a man of gravity is a man God wants to use. Because God can tell him, stay at the feet of the mountain. Why do you think God chose Joshua? Moses is going up. Moses climbed the mountain. He told Joshua, sit here. And Joshua is hearing noise in the camp. Joshua didn't run to go and say, what is happening? He sat there. There is no way God will boycott Joshua and use anybody in Israel. He is gathered. It was Moses that came down and told Joshua what was happening. We are all over the place. That's why it's hard. Even though God wants to use us, it's hard. Evangelist told us a story. He said he entered a bathroom in Brazil to ease himself. And it was messed up. And then he wanted to go out. He was pressed. Hope you know that God is in a hurry. Does not mean he must use you. He was so pressed. But the bathroom was too messed up. And God said, why didn't you use the bathroom? He said, God is messed up. And God said, I am urgent to use men. But I can't. Because they've not purged themselves. Most times you see people, even when they are at the altar, they are too noisy. They are too noisy. You know they don't have gravity. He's on the altar. He's all over the place. He's doing everything. He's just... Then a spiritual man will look at you and know you are of the flesh. You say, worship the people. Hallelujah. Hey, hey. Why are you everywhere? Meanwhile, somebody else is not on the altar, but he's picking the rhythm of the spirit. He knows you are not following the Holy Ghost. He knows. Meanwhile, you who is on the altar, you can't pick the movement of God. And then when you finish doing your thing, you go and sit down. That's when the Holy Ghost came out of the throne room. And then an usher will come and say, let's end the service. And the power of God break out. Because that one knows how to align with the reading. Meanwhile, you think service is over. But that's when service started. But you can't flow. Because you are all over the place. Because you see 30 people. You have become a superstar. And not gathered. So God can't commit hallowed things to us. I'm telling you. I pray we are many. But most times, it's impossible. Even if we pray and prophesy, most times it's hard. Because this condition, this criteria, God will never overlook it. That's why with the prayer, with the fasting, with the prophecy, most times, at the end of the day, the people are still few. The third criteria is yieldedness. Our time is gone. Maybe we'll just leave this service in a sober state and go home and take a stock of our walk with God. You know this thing I'm teaching now. Even me who is teaching it, a man who is more gathered, if he's talking, I'll start crying. Because he will be bringing witness from a higher plane. And the plane where he's talking from, what I think I have, will become child's play. So sometimes, we need sober reflection. I met a man, his name is Pastor Hassan. When the guy finished preaching, as he finished, they said they should end the service. The person that went to collect the microphone began to cry. All of us now sat down. We cried there for 40 minutes. And then they didn't say service is over. When you are tired of crying, you just go home. And then we left quietly. Everybody left quietly to seek his God. To seek him. I came for that meeting as a guest minister. I was the one that preached on the first day. I thought the power of God moved. After the man preached the second day, I said, take my remaining two slots. We need to learn the ways of God. And I gave him my slot. When he was preaching, we were crying. We will just cry. When we finish crying, everybody will go home quietly. There's no, no. If a pin fall down, you will hear it like a gong. Even if you come out, I remember those days when we were Catholics. If you want to go out, you will walk carefully. Carefully. So you don't distract anybody. You are ashamed. You just come. We don't know what God wants to do. See, what God wants to do, many ranking angels have been commissioned. They are just waiting for men to align. Some of the angels God wants to mobilize, they have never visited the earth. They are excited that for the first time, they will walk the plane of mortals. They are waiting, and you don't know the laws of those angels. So when God is gathering you, he's trying to teach you how to walk with those angels, because some of them, they carry vengeance in their bowels. So when you are walking with them, it requires a delicate balance. They have never walked with men before. And what God wants to do, they are the ones that will commission it. So the men that will walk with them will be careful. So God is teaching you order in the realms of God. And then you think he's there to come and preach a good message. Huh? Some of the angels, you walk with them. If you violate their protocol, they will kill you. They will kill you. They didn't come to kill, but they will kill you because you violated their protocol. Meanwhile, that's the only angel that have the power to take India. Because India is a virgin land. There are billions of people that have never been touched. They have over 12 million gods. You don't need a sweet preacher to go there. You need angelic commissioners. Angels that will stand in India, and if they stretch their hand like this, they will cover the Indian Ocean. That's the angel you want to work with. And you think you will throw in church and work with that angel. We don't know what is coming to the earth. And it's because we don't know the kind of battles that are going on. Because even in the demonic realm, they are studying dark mysteries. They are studying dark intelligences. They are entering into perversions in order to activate demons and to increase their wickedness for what they want to do. It's not a joke. I wish I had time to talk to us about the governmental arms of God. So you will know the powers that have legislated this revival to come now. It took time. They were watching the balances in heaven. They were checking the scales. It took a lot of legislation for God to say, it is now. If you know the princes that are coming to earth, you will be careful. You will be careful. Some angels that need to take certain territories, if they land in that territory, there will be earthquakes. You will think it's natural disaster. No, it's a visitation. A creature of energy, a being of energy, entered the earth realm. So where he lands, the vibration will cause an earthquake. When they visit the earth, and some of them, their head can never appear in the earth. So they will stand in the heavens. And they will be taking territories. Because those are the angels that can shift princes from the constellations. The princes that sit over the sun and darken a territory. Another angelic functionary will stand. So as we are warring on earth, angels will be warring in the heavens. For that kind of operation to happen, you can't afford to think evil. You can't afford to talk evil. So your tongue will be guided, because your careless utterance can sabotage the war. It can sabotage. So you will immobilize an angel. An angel that excelled in strength, visited the earth for revival. And then you stand up and say, this thing no go work. How dare you say that? Ah, you have violated the protocol of warfare. And then you stand up, you look at a damsel, and then you think iniquity. The being that came is a being of fire. He will burn you. Because iniquity can exist around many functionaries. That's where legislations about the move of God takes place. So when a revival begins, there are some men that have gone to heaven, they will come back to earth. When Jesus was about to provoke salvation, Moses and Elijah visited the earth again. Because they are custodians. So there is a move that God wants to bring. Thomas will come back. Because we need a teacher to guide you. There are certain angels that will return to the earth. So when you go to a territory, they will be seeing one man, but you came with entourage. Entourage. Many entourage. Some of you, Paul will follow you to a territory. So when you are opening the scripture, it is the scroll that Paul read that you'll be reading from. So when they hear you, you'll be opening dimensions. You'll be opening portals. You'll be opening gates. The things you'll be opening, there will not be messages. You'll be announcing dimensions and seasons that were in God. Some of you will come with Enoch, because they are part of what God is doing. The Bible says Elijah and Enoch will return. You will come with them. So when you are talking, they may see you and say, this boy is 19 years old. They made a mistake. You are talking with a man that was 7 after Adam. So you are more than 6,000 years old. The mysteries you are communicating, they are before the foundation of the world. You came with an entourage. So the Holy Ghost will be the governor. So when you came, it is the ecclesia that shows up. This is what God wants to do. Some of the angels that should walk with you, they are teaching them how to align with you. Because some of those angels, all they know is vengeance. and the territory you are going to, God needs to judge wickedness. So it is an angel of vengeance that will come. So God, they have to educate that angel to her. He's the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the living God. He's the Holy Ghost, Scepter of the King of Kings. He's the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the age to come. He said,